So the title of today's sermon is Counterfeit Christianity. And we will be looking at Revelation chapter 13, and we'll be looking at verses 11 through 18. So if you could go ahead and turn there, Revelation 13. Now, if you ask most people, whether believers or not, you know, what words or what thoughts come to mind when you mention the book of Revelation? You know, what will they most likely say? You might hear, well, tribulation, rapture, but two things you can almost always guarantee they'll say is, oh, Mark of the Beast and 666. Millions of hours, countless hours, have been wasted by people trying to predict and produce explanations to these two things. Mark of the Beast, 666. Go on YouTube, type those in, and there's a sea of videos about these two things. There's much speculation. There's much fear, anxiety, confusion, and as I said, wasted time has surrounded these words and this number. Much money has been made by people who have written books or produced videos claiming to have cracked the code and, you know, made the right links to prove this or that. Or who the Antichrist is, who this beast is. Many people have been taken advantage of through these deceptive means. And many true Christians have been misled. Dustin Benji. He said this. He said, rather than seeking revelations, visions, miracles, words of prophecy, tongues, prayer languages, experiences, signs, wonders, Christians need only to study and obey what they already have, the Bible. And I agree to that. So today, we will take a look at the second beast, the land beast. We will take a look at the mark of the beast and, as I mentioned, 666, which actually we should be saying 666, and you'll see why. So before we dive in, let's go to the Lord, a word of prayer. Our Lord and our God, we bow before you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Your word that is sufficient for us is all that we need. And Lord, we pray that you help us to not be deceived in this world, that we not go astray, Lord, that we not lust for signs and wonders and all these crazy things. But Lord, that we just stay rooted and grounded in your word, for we know it is the source of truth, is the only source of truth. Lord, it is unchanging as you are. Lord, we rest in that. We rest in your sovereignty that gave us this word, for you used men to write your word, and you used men to assemble your word. And we have your word, and we thank you for it, Lord, for we know many brothers and sisters around the world do not have your word readily available to them. Lord, so we pray that we don't take it for granted. Lord, that we treasure it, and Lord, that we know it is a very precious thing to have in our possession. So, Father, this morning we pray that you convict our hearts of sin. Convict our hearts and our minds of the truth, Lord. Help us to be wise and discerning, especially through the book of Revelation. Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit leads us through it, or that we not inject our own sinful ideas and thoughts, but Lord, that we're just guided and led through by your Spirit. And Lord, may I step out of my own way this morning. May the words I speak be from you to those who ever hear this. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 13. Let's read verses 11 through 12. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he was speaking as a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. You know, they say imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And that's what we have here with the second beast. An imitation of the real thing. An imitation of Christianity. Not just with this second beast, but with the first beast, with the dragon. We have something being similar to or alike just enough that people are deceived and led astray without them even thinking about it. As I was preparing this, being a mechanic and mechanically minded, what came to my mind is all the Chinese knockoff products, especially in the tool world, where Chinese will take a good design, such as a Honda engine, and they will replicate. I mean, exact size, exact shape, everything. It'll look just like a Honda, but the quality is poor. The quality isn't there. It's not the real thing. And that makes a big difference. Your genuine Honda engine is going to outrun your knockoff Chinese knockoff engine 5-1. And so there are a lot of things that you can be wrong about in life and not have any issues. But if you believe in a counterfeit version of Christianity, it will have deadly eternal consequences. And so as we go through these verses, we're going to see all these imitations of Christianity. The first one is what we're going to call triumvirates of evil. And so what that word means is essentially in ancient Rome, it was a political institution ruled or dominated by three individuals. So we have the dragon, the first beast, and the second beast. So, the sea beast and the land beast. Three. What does that remind you of? The Trinity. So we have the second beast rising from the earth, whereas the first beast rose from the sea. So now we have the complete, tri-evil powers here. The dragon, the sea beast, and the land beast. Now, this beast is subservient to the first beast. Okay? It's not seeking its own worshipers, but making those on earth worship the first beast. In chapters in Revelation, in chapters 16, verse 3, chapter 19, verse 20, and chapter 20, verse 10, this beast is also called the false prophet. So, giving us the idea that it's a religious leader. A second imitation. It says that this beast has two horns like a lamb. So, lamb likeness. Well, Jesus is the Lamb of God. This lamb beast appears gentle outwardly and harmless. You know, lamb, you know, it says two horns, but, you know, lamb, you're just talking about, you know, little nubs. You know, they're not going to be dangerous. You know, lambs are kind of seen as weak. But inwardly, this beast is deceptive and evil because it says it was speaking as a dragon. So it's teaching lies and heresy. Now, Jesus warned of false prophets. In Matthew 7:15, he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in what? Sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And then in Mark chapter 13, verse 22, it says, And then if anyone says to you, "Behold, here is the Christ," or "Behold, he is there," do not believe him, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. The lamb beast exercises all of the same authority of the first beast, but only in its presence. So this false prophet, this lamb beast, is a propagandist for the beast, the first beast. So he's kind of a front man who stands before him. Verses 13 to 15. "And he does great signs, so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which were given to him to do in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast, who had the wound of the sword and has come to life." So, here's our third imitation. Miraculous signs. One of the ways the false prophet deceives people is through performing signs. Satanic prophets all throughout history and in other parts of the Bible have always tried to perform deceiving miracles. In chapter 16, verse 14, and then chapter 19, verse 20, you can see that. And then let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true concerning which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us walk after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of the prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For Yahweh your God is testing you to find out if you love Yahweh your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after Yahweh your God and fear him, And you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has counseled rebellion against Yahweh, your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery to drive you from the way in which Yahweh, your God, commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among you. So false teachers continue to this day, especially in, you know, the charismatic arena, where you have these false teachers claiming to be healers, claiming, you know, to miraculously heal people, to be able to predict the future. And others are profiting off of prophetic words that never come to pass. You know, these false teachers are leading people astray, leading them to serve other gods, namely themselves. So all this is pointing to a counterfeit Christianity. And that's because it is a better tactic and it's more effective. You know, so Satan doesn't just come out, you know, guns a-blazing and present, you know, Satanism or atheism. That's not as good of a tactic, because what's in it for the people? There's no purpose or meaning of life. You're just randomly, you know, evolved here. You're from pond scum. When you die, that's it. There's nothing else. If you talk about atheism. Or, you know, Satanism, you know, devil worship. You know, how great is that? So it's a better tactic for Satan to use counterfeit Christianity. Something that resembles Christianity, you know, eternal life. But keeping people from obtaining eternal life. So it's better to take Christianity, make it resemble just enough to keep people thinking that they are right with God and worshiping him, but in reality, they are worshiping an idol and are not children of God, but rather, they're actually enemies of God, and Satan is their father. Martin Luther once said, "From the beginning of my Reformation, I have asked God to send me neither dreams, nor visions, nor angels, but to give me the right understanding of his word, the Holy Scriptures. For as long as I have God's word, I know that I am walking in his way, and that I shall not fall into any error or delusion." I believe that should be our prayer and our hope as well. And I would bet that he includes signs and wonders in there as well. And so what he's getting at is if we have a right understanding of God's word, that's all we need. We don't need anything else. We need not worry about trying to decipher dreams, visions, or signs. We do not need these things. We have the Holy Spirit living within us, God himself living within us. We have his living word, and we have a direct prayer line to him. Plus, we have each other. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. A fourth imitation we see here is resurrection. Resurrection had the wound of the sword and has come to life. whose fatal wound was healed. Christ, of course, resurrected from the grave. Christ experienced a fatal wound being crucified on the cross, but then 3 days later rose again, defeating death. And here this beast supposedly is also healed from a fatal wound. Fifth imitation, fire. Fire. Where did it go? And he does great signs that he even makes fire come down out of heaven for the earth, the presence of men. There are many references in Scripture to fire and fire being used as signs and utilized by God and believers. And here we have an allusion, an imitation to those events. Of course, there's Elijah who called down fire from heaven. We like to call that the God contest with the boys. They got a little book about it. And you know, that's where they had, like I said, we call it the God contest, where you know, Elijah, you know, he set up his sacrifice and he doused it with water, made a trench around it, filled that with water, and God struck it with fire and lapped up all the water and burned up the sacrifice. Whereas the false prophets, when they tried it, nothing happened. And then back in chapter 11 in Revelation, you have the two witnesses who had fire coming out of their mouths. Or at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit descended upon believers, there appeared to them tongues like fire. Though not fire, but like fire. Then, of course, God gave the Israelites the pillar of fire to travel by night and led them in the way that they should go. So this counterfeit fire was a sign that would have wooed many people due to the, you know, the usage of fire by God. The Lamb Beast tells those who are on earth to make an image for the first beast and give breath to the image, to make it able to speak, and those who do not worship it be slain. And so this was to have an appearance of vitality, reality, and power. This image was to have all these things, to make it seem real. Perhaps another imitation, as we saw back again in chapter 11, the breath of life from God came into the two witnesses. And then also, of course, back in Genesis, when God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Another imitation. Verses 16 to 17. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, that they be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. And so now we have a seventh imitation, a mark. The worshippers of the beast were to receive a mark on the right hand or forehead. That was either the name of the beast or the number of his name. So in the next and last verse, 18, I will show you how they represented names with numbers. If they wanted to partake in commerce, they had to have this mark. Thus, true believers in Jesus were forbidden. They just couldn't buy or sell anything. And this mark, this imitates the seal of God's name on believers. This morning, it's worship through Scripture. Well, the second one was Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. And in that passage, God commands the Israelites to love him with all their heart, soul, and might. And that his word shall be on their heart, diligently teaching their children and constantly speaking of them. Well, speaking of God. So doing all these things so much that in a spiritual sense, they will be marked by God. Obviously, God wasn't saying to put these little things on your forehead and your hand, you know, and go around every day with them bouncing and jiggling around. But it was it's a spiritual seal. Because the head symbolized ownership. So under Yahweh's authority, or they were under Yahweh's authority, and the right hand symbolized, you know, your work, your labor, what you do. So everything that you do and everything you think is you are under God's authority, and it is everything you do is for His glory. Those who have this mark of the beast are owned by the beast and are slaves to it. Paul tells us in Galatians 6:17, from now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. So these were the scars he received during his missionary work. The scars essentially branded him as a slave of Christ. This mark of the beast is something that most people believe is going to take place in the future. That is not so. The next verse will make a case as to who the number 666 represents, and that will and puts all this that, you know, the mark and the number puts it in the past, not something that we're looking for in the future. So you delete all those YouTube videos. Most are thinking, you know, the government is going to put a microchip in us or tattoo some barcodes on us. But John told his audience, which was first century Christians, that these things would take place soon. And he was, back a few chapters, he was told to measure the temple. So it hadn't been destroyed yet. Plus, in chapter 1, verse 7, John says, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So those who pierced him are obviously not alive, still alive today. Therefore, this mark of the beast has already happened. You know, so like I said, don't waste any more time watching videos and books about this future event of the mark and the 666. So as I found there are seven imitations and counterfeits that the Lamb Beast tries to take from Christianity in order to get people to worship the beast of the sea. This is similar to how the ancient magicians in Egypt mimicked some of Moses's signs. So Moses and Aaron would go before Pharaoh and perform a miracle. And then the magicians would mimic these acts. The beast of the earth compels people to receive the mark of the beast on their right hands and foreheads in order to do business. And in the first century, economic success required participating in this cult of the emperor. And so that brings us to verse 18, where we tie it all together. Verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of man, and his number is 666. And it is important to note that it is not 666. It's 666. There's something called gematria. This is essentially a Greek practice of giving a number to a name. Yeah, we're kind of familiar with that, like with our Roman numerals. You know, if I said X, that represents.
No.
Oh, no. So, you know, X10, V5, I1. That's similar. So in ancient cultures, they used systems like this, where their language or alphabet doubled as their numerical system. So numbers could represent words. So using this system, John, a Jewish Christian, told those in the early churches who the man was who was called the beast. It was Nero Caesar. Nero Caesar. His name, transliterated into Hebrew, is pronounced Neron Kaiser, I believe. I think I got that right. Forgive me if I'm wrong on that. So his name transliterated into Hebrew equals 666. And you can look up gematria, and that'll help you kind of understand how that works. But his name comes out to 666. And Nero, he was described as a beast in ancient writings, so historical writings, outside of scripture. He was described as a beast. He was a disgusting man. Some of the things he did, he amplified emperor worship. So that was kind of a thing coming on the scene. And he took it, ran with it, and really cranked up, you need to worship the emperor. This man castrated and married a 10-year-old boy. He kicked his pregnant wife to death. He, of course, as we heard last week, burned Christians to death at these garden parties he would hold. He would tie Christians to a stake naked. Then he would wear an animal skin and attack and eat the Christians' bodies and genitalia. And he murdered his own mother. And an interesting thing I read was, if you use gematria, murdered his mother also comes out to 666. But anyways, this guy was a beast. He was evil. He was wicked. So historically, Nero persecuted Christians for 42 months, as it predicted in verse 5 from last week. Hank Hanegraaff, he says this, obviously, no amount of wisdom and insight would have enabled a first century audience to calculate the number of a 21st century beast. It would have been cruel and dangerously misleading for John to suggest to first century Christians that they could identify the beast if, in fact, the beast was a 21st century individual or institution. So in other words, he's saying, John sent this letter out to these churches. That's his audience. But he's telling them about some beast in the 21st century. How would they ever figure that out? They couldn't. They wouldn't. It would make no sense for John to do that. He couldn't just... Now, here's the thing. He couldn't just come out and say in his letter who the beast was. Because no doubt that, what he was writing and sending out was read by guards or, the overseer of the prisons that John was in. And if he puts that in there, then, he's going to get in more trouble. Right? Executed for trying to... they're going to think, oh, John's trying to stir up the Christians to revolt. But if we put ourselves in the shoes of those recipients of John's words, then it's easy to see that they would have had a very good idea who the beast was. Beast being Nero. So... to recap, even from a little bit last week, the beast of the sea was the Roman Empire and Nero at that specific time. The seven heads are the seven hills and seven kings. So Rome was the city of seven, was known as a city of seven hills. Nero was the sixth one, the sixth of the seven kings. Reigning at the time that the revelation was given. And of course, the dragon is Satan. So the land beast is known as the false prophet. It was a religious figure. A good conclusion would be that this was the high priest of apostate Israel. So, wrapping up, we cannot and should not try to calculate when Jesus will return. We must still keep in mind that, the Antichrist spirit is still alive and well today. There are many false prophets and teachers to mark and avoid. So we must not get caught up in false signs and wonders, but rather rest in knowing that what God gave us in His Word is all that we need. Satan's most effective schemes involve making a counterfeit of what comes from God in order to draw people away from God. Paul says that the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. And Satan's use of the beast from the sea in Revelation 13:1-10, and the beast from the earth in verses we saw today, are evidences that the devil loves counterfeiting holy things. So as I said, be discerning. Many churches out there today practice a counterfeit Christianity. And finally, turn with me to 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 3. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are looking for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And consider the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest you, having been carried away by the error of unprincipled men, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So be on guard. Pray for discernment. Pray for understanding. And if you are unsure, if you are following a counterfeit version of Christianity, pray to God. He hears you. Pray for understanding, pray for clarity, and pray that brother, sister in Christ comes along and guides you, reveals and shows you the truth found in God's word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Lord and our God, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you that you help us, the Holy Spirit helps us to study your word, to have a proper understanding of it. Lord, we pray that you help us to be diligent students of the word. Lord, we pray that we not be swayed to and fro from the ideologies of this world and the culture around us, but Lord, that we point people to you. Lord, that we stay grounded in your word. Lord, that we not give in to these radical ideas and trying to predict the coming of our Lord. Or try to, fall into these scare tactics of Mark of the Beast and, 666 and all these things, Lord. We just pray that we are faithful and obedient to you, that we remain, having our eyes and our minds set on heavenly things and eternity and in sharing the gospel with the lost around us. We give you all the honor, praise, and glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.